Manx Radio's update with Andy Wint.
That's the way. Good evening, it's 5:30. This is update for Wednesday, 29th of May, 2024, from Manx Radio. 30 minutes looking at the latest news on the Isle of Man. Background to that news with sport and business and travel updates and the newsmakers in person. This evening, watch out, there's a TT thief about. Government's keen for the Lord Street development to progress, so the Chief Constable wants more money for policing. Visitors are reminded about their travel insurance, and Douglas War Memorial commemorates its centenary.
Man Benham for all your business and legal needs.
First of all, at 29 minutes ahead of 6 o'clock, the update news headlines. Fastamai, Siobhan Fletcher.
Fastamai. Police are warning residents and visitors of the possibility of counterfeit currency being used on the island. Officers are asking people to check all the cash they have, and if they're unsure, take it into a bank for help. There are plans to demolish the old Empire Garage in Peel and replace it with houses. A planning application's been submitted for 7 properties, 4 on the front and 3 behind on Stanley Road. And roads around the TT course are due to close within the next half an hour for tonight's qualifying session. If the schedule runs to plan, the Superbike and Superstop machines will go out in an hour's time, with the Supersport and Super Twin bikes heading out at 7:20. The sidecars will follow at 8:10. Further afield, police at Schiphol Airport in Amsterdam say a person has died after falling into an aircraft engine. The airport has described it as a horrible incident. Officers there are investigating. In the UK, junior doctors are to go on strike for 5 days ahead of the general election. Members of the British Medical Association say they spoke to ministers earlier this month, but didn't get a satisfactory pay offer. And a 34-year-old woman who was stabbed to death on a Bournemouth beach last week has been described by her family as a larger-than-life character. An inquest into Amy Gray's killing opened today. There are your headlines, news at 6.
Secure tomorrow today with Man Benham's guidance on powers of attorney and more. Manx Radio Weather with Manx Glass and Glazing.
Gaurav Mayad, thank you, Siobhan. From the Ronalds Way Met Office, there is a strong wind warning in operation for the North Irish Sea. State of sea is slight or moderate, and the weather this evening, dry and bright, plenty of blue sky around. A fresh, locally strong wind coming in from the northwest. It's going to be mainly dry overnight, maybe a passing shower on that wind overnight, minimum 11 degrees. And for Jourdain tomorrow, dry with sunny spells, a fresh to strong northwesterly. Daylight maximum 15 degrees, dry after dark and down to 11. And for Jehenya, dry and fine on Friday and a fresh northwest wind easing throughout the day. Top temperature 16, settled weather over the weekend. Cloudier next week, sunset tonight 22 minutes before 10. Low tide at 11:01. Sunrise, 5:06 tomorrow morning. High water, 5:03 in the morning. Low tide, 11:23.
Manx Glass and Glazing can supply and install single, double and triple glazing. Call 674-573 or visit the showroom on the Snugbra Trading Estate.
As well as that counterfeit currency to watch out for, the constabulary say opportunistic thieves are currently operating on the Isle of Man. A number of arrests have already been made. Inspector Paul Kemp says it's not limited to any one area.
It's all over the island. There isn't a specific area, but we have a group of individuals that are travelling around the Isle of Man, and any opportunity, they are checking cars, they're checking doors, and they're taking stuff. Also, we had another report just overnight as well in Ramsey of somebody rifling through a car as well. So this is an ongoing issue. We have had some arrests already and we're going to continue to do so, particularly, which leads me nicely into the fact that now that we're on 12-hour shifts, that's everybody. That includes our proactive arm as well. So we'll have all sorts of people, police officers in uniforms, out of uniforms, looking around, and we've got a good idea who a lot of these people are. And as I say, we've already arrested a number anyway. Don't get me wrong, it's not UK levels, but it's bad enough that it's being noticed on the Isle of Man, and we're trying to help everybody help themselves just in relation to that as well. I mean, we've got tactics as well for recovery of the vehicles, but that doesn't stop those vehicles being hidden for a few days. Mm-hmm. And obviously we put all our resources into then finding those vehicles, but we can stop the problem right from the outset by locking the cars, even if they're on your drive, locking your front doors, locking your back doors. These people are opportunistic. There's no like major threat from them apart from your property getting stolen, and we're going to keep reinforcing that. We put a load of posts out again yesterday, but we've also got to consider as well our visitors as well at the moment as well about locking up their bikes. Yes, it's the Isle of Man, yes, it's a great place to to be, and we're not in the middle of a busy city somewhere where you really have to be careful about where you leave things. But still, lock your bikes up, make sure you keep your property secure and with you, don't leave any valuables in tents, etc, etc, etc. This isn't because we've got a load of visiting people that have come over and caused us a load of trouble. This is something that we've been facing for the last month or so, and like I say, we're getting on top of it, but still, it's worthy of the message going out there.
The Lord Street development's one of the brownfield sites the Department of Enterprise is very keen to see development on. It's after plans for a new indoor bus information centre, multi-screen cinema and apartment block were announced yesterday. The Enterprise Minister Tim Johnston, MHK, says he's supportive of the plans.
This is, from our point of view, a scheme which potentially in principle fits into our island infrastructure scheme plans, and that's obviously recognising that we have some fairly complex brownfield sites on the island that have been sitting empty for many, many years and are very keen to see some development take place in these sites. As an island, we know there's certain infrastructure we want to see built, whether it's restaurants or whether it's residential, and on this site specifically, looking at cinemas, etc. So I think it's really important that when ideas come forward for these sites, that we look at them very seriously. There's no denying it's a very complicated site. It's had a long history, and that and other sites we've seen around Douglas especially that has had empty for many, many years. And often the reason they've sat empty for many years is because of those challenges and those costs and difficulties. One of the reasons of having the island infrastructure scheme is to recognise that, but also recognise that we want to see the infrastructure developed on the island and what we can do as a government to help that happen. We see it happening in other jurisdictions and leveraging that private investment. So we do get these schemes coming forward. But like any scheme, this scheme, it has to go through a process. Anything is only in principle as far as the island infrastructure scheme is concerned. Clearly, it in principle has to go through planning yet. So there is a long process to go through. But I think it's important that we look at these sites and really do what we can to try and see to get the development we want to see as an island on these sites. Like any application, it's at the start of that process. I believe it'll be going into planning. I can't put a timescale on that. I'm afraid that's up to the planning process to take its time through that and obviously get through that process. And then obviously it's a substantial site, so I imagine it'll be several years of development.
The only radio station that's Manx, and we're proud of it. Celebrating 60 years, this is Manx Radio.
Fast to my 22 minutes now before 6. The structure of the Isle of Man's policing budget means the Chief Constable can't deliver policing how he wants. According to the Department for Home Affairs Chief Officer Dan Davis and Home Affairs Minister Jane Paul Wilson, MHK, discussed the financial challenges facing the department while giving evidence to a Tynwald committee.
He sees a number of areas of financial risk in the way that the constabulary budget is currently structured that he says he cannot deliver the department's policing plan as effectively as he wants to without additional funding. He has repeatedly told us, and the department is working really hard to try and consider how best we can address this, that police officer pay is leading to people, large numbers of police officers leaving. There's a huge turnover rate. We are trying to maintain that financial discipline, but at the same time, the department is aware that there are real strains in other areas of the force. And for example, in the Fire and Rescue Service, we've got a succession issue, which is likely to generate additional costs for the department because we have a number of senior officers who are likely or who are able to leave at relatively short notice, who have a huge amount of training and ability. But if they leave at relatively short notice, then the Fire and Rescue Service is incredibly exposed from a risk perspective for having strategic incident cover.
The other thing is the department does not set the pay. So apart from the Fire and Rescue Service. So, you know, we don't know what the police pay settlement will be for the year we're in. And we don't know what the pay settlement will be for all the staff who are covered by the Public Services Commission.
Which includes prison officers, the control room staff and the civil service in the department.
Yeah, and the civilian population in the police force. So the police settlement, we don't know when that will happen. We don't know when the Public Services Commission will happen. They're all back paid settlements. So what can happen with the best will in the world is you are presented with a budgetary strain quite late in the year.
The centenary of the Douglas War Memorial has been marked with a short service commemorating the people who were killed in the First and Second World Wars. Mayor of Douglas, Natalie Byron-Tear, says the unveiling 100 years ago was an important day.
So it's just a short service to commemorate commemorate the 100 years since the unveiling of the War Memorial on Loch Promenade, and it is a remembrance service. The memorial commemorates those who lost their lives in both wars, so it's just a time for a little bit of reflection and to note that 100 years passing. So the War Memorial was built in, well, it was unveiled on the 29th of May 1924. It was commissioned for the purpose of honouring those who had lost their lives in the First World War to commemorate their loyalty, courage, sacrifice, and later on it was those from the Second World War. The names of those who were added as well. So it is really a remembrance, it's a memorial, it's where we hold our remembrance service each year in Douglas, and it really is just a visual monument to that. As I say, it is exactly 100 years since the unveiling. I'm very much of the opinion, lest we forget, it's always any opportunity to remind ourselves about, you know, the bravery, courage of all those people is very important to me. And I think that, you know, 100 years is a significant time to mark. I was an army cadet in my teenage years, so not so much the, probably more Tim Ward was our duties back then. But yeah, I have a great passion for service personnel, whatever sort of service they're in. Like I say, I respect their loyalty and their bravery and their courage and appreciate their service very much.
The Isle of Man in 30 minutes. Update on Manx Radio with Andy Wint.
Motor vessel Manxman is just approaching the outskirts of Douglas Bay at the moment. She'll be on the Lynx Pan in the next 15 minutes or so. And the Mananin high-speed craft left Liverpool about 2 minutes ago. She'll be into Douglas at 25 past eight tonight. Visitors to the Isle of Man for TT are being reminded to make sure they have the right insurance cover for their trip here. The Isle of Man does have a reciprocal arrangement with the UK, meaning medical care is covered, but Andy Reid from Manx Care says not everything is included.
Obviously, the Isle of Man being so close to the shores of the UK, some people, especially UK residents, possibly believe that they might not need travel insurance, medical insurance, and that's generally the case because we have a reciprocal health agreement with the UK government, which is for England, Scotland, Northern Ireland and Wales. What that kind of gives is the same NHS treatment that they would get in their home jurisdictions on the Isle of Man, and they'd have to pay for prescriptions just like they would in the UK. They'd have to do that here. But what that doesn't always cover is medical repatriation, and especially during TT when you've got riders on bikes and they might have an accident, ends up in the hospital, and obviously they might need repatriation back to a hospital in the UK. If they haven't got insurance, they're going to have to pay for that, and that can be anywhere from £5,500 to £25,000 dependent on their need of getting them on an air ambulance back to the UK. So it can be quite a hefty lump of money if they've not insured. And not a lot of people kind of from the UK understand that. You've really got to read the small print and you've got to make sure. And if you can't see it, the best thing is to ask your insurance provider, will this cover a medical repatriation? And the other thing is, because the Isle of Man isn't part of the EU, then we won't accept the European health insurance cards, which some European countries belong to. And we have people coming over thinking that they're covered by that, and so therefore they don't take out medical insurance, private travel insurance. And when they come to the Isle of Man, because we're not part of the EU, we don't sign up to that scheme. So they sadly find out that everything has to be paid for out of their own bank accounts or their credit cards, which can be, again, costly. So a stay in trauma orthopaedics could cost you thousands, you know, upwards of £5,000 to £10,000 for your surgery and everything else. So that's a lot of money to expect somebody to pay.
Manx Radio Business Briefing.
At 16 minutes before 6 in corporate news, Anglo-American lost ground as it rejected BHP's request to extend its put-up-or-shut-up offer deadline, advising shareholders to take no action in response to the latter's latest attempt to sway the mining group into a £39 billion takeover deal. And for a full daily market report, go to ramseycrookall.com. Airlines are rethinking their approach to premium cabins as demand for first and business class airfares from leisure travellers surged since the COVID pandemic, reports the Financial Times. Although the trend began before 2020, savings made by many travellers during the pandemic have gone towards increasing spending on comfort and luxury as they venture out again, marking a shift towards leisure customers prioritising memorable experiences and willing to pay more for premium tickets. Airlines like Lufthansa, Emirates and Etihad are investing billions to enhance the in-flight experience to cater for the needs of travellers beyond corporate frequent flyers, as airlines anticipate continued high demand for premium leisure travel.
The stock
Market Report, brought to you by Ramsey Crookall.
UK and European stock markets closed lower today. US stocks weighed into the red after a spike in Treasury yields unsettled investors. Gold fell as a stronger dollar, higher bond yields and hawkish comments from a Fed Reserve official weighed on market sentiment, and oil held firm. The numbers from Ramsey Crookall reporting at the close in London. The FTSE 100 down 0.9%, 8,183. The DAX in Frankfurt down just over a percentage point at 18,474. A short time ago in New York City, the Dow Jones Industrial down 0.9% at 38,516. The Nasdaq Tech Stocks Index down 0.4% at 16,954. And in Chicago, the S&P 500 down 0.6% at 5,275. But the trading day continues. In the exchange markets, the British pound is currently trading at $1.27, €1 17.5 cents, and 23 South African rand 40 cents. In commodities, gold down 0.9%, $2,341 per troy ounce, and a barrel of Brent crude down 1.25% at $83.25.
I'm running late again. Do you know where I put my car keys?
In the fridge.
Where's my phone?
Under the dog basket.
Bye.
You haven't forgotten that we're seeing Ramsey Crookall later?
Oh, no, of course not. 5 p.m. is it?
3:15.
I'll be there.
Life is busy. That's why Ramsey Crookall's team takes time to help you make a mindful investment decision, considering all the options, giving you full control of your financial future. Less stress, more assurance.
Forgot to put my shoes on.
Oh.
See how we can make your money work for you. Call 717171 or visit ramseycrookall.com. Licensed and regulated by the Isle of Man Financial Services Authority.
30 minutes before six, one of the talking points from TT qualifying thus far was a dramatic moment for rider Josh Brooks, who had a full throttle encounter with wildlife during Monday evening. He came home safely afterwards, but explained ahead of last night's eventually abandoned session the challenges it caused.
Yeah, that wasn't ideal. It was the last lap I was going to do of the evening anyway. I'd kind of got to a point where I'd had enough. I was just a bit mentally drained. I think this year, particularly because riding so many different bikes, so I got to get used to the Super Sport and the Super Twin and then the Super Stock and the Super Bike, and it was far more for me to mentally deal with. So I kind of got to the point where I was like, oh, I'll do this one lap and then that'll probably be me done. And I literally got, you know, a couple hundred metres into the lap, and just at the top of Bray Hill, I struck a bird. Fortunately, it hit the bike screen first before it hit me in the head, and that must have took a little bit of the inertia out of the impact, but it was still a decent hit to the head. It sort of rang me bell a little bit, but the worst part was the vision on my visor was completely obscured by all the blood and the sun as well, but the main thing was I couldn't see through my visor. It was like driving on the motorway in rain without the wipers going. The next problem was trying to pull a tear off. You know, obviously we got the tear offs to pull and give us clear vision from the flies and different things about, but at this moment I was trying to pull the tear off, but the blood was making it slippery. My hands kept slipping off of it. So I was desperately trying to guess my way down Bray Hill at the speed that I was doing, and then fortunately got the tear off and cleared my vision. And then I had the rest of the lap to do with a busted screen. And I know for people watching at home, you know, think, well, it's just a little screen. It doesn't impact the bike too much. But the bike certainly probably isn't too bothered by it. But us riders really have a lot of protection from the screen. And having that broken, I was just feeling the full force of the wind. And it just makes it really difficult to stay in your correct position and concentrate, because you're fighting that buffering wind the whole way around.
Manx Radio Sport.
Vastamai, Rob Pritchard.
Vastamai, good evening. After a late call to scrap proceedings last night, there will be hopes of more fortune and more qualifying for the 2024 Isle of Man TT races this evening. Following a busy opening session on Monday, yesterday's qualifying was cancelled just under an hour after roads closed due to deteriorating conditions around the Snaefell Mountain course. Tonight's schedule sees roads around the course shutting in a few minutes' time at 6 p.m. and reopening no later than 9:30. First due to go out will be the big 1,000cc machines of the Superbikes and Superstocks at 6:30, followed by a combined Super Sport and Super Twin session at 7:20. Wednesday night is then expected to conclude with the sidecars, who are due out at 8:10. Of the timings on track so far, Michael Dunlop has set the overall benchmark of 129.59 miles an hour on his Hawk Racing Superbike. Peter Hickman set the fastest pace in the Superstock and Super Twin classes, with Davey Todd top of the pile in the first Super Sport outing. On three wheels, Manx duo Ryan and Callum Crowe set the early standard of 116.699 miles an hour, ahead of defending champion Ben Birchall and his new passenger Kevin Rousseau. Elsewhere, Isle of Man Cricket has named its senior men's squad to take part in next month's ICC Men's T20 World Cup qualifiers. The Manx side will be made up of 14 players and will compete in Europe Qualifier A in Rome, Italy, from the 9th to the 16th of June. France, Italy, Luxembourg and Turkey will also be contesting the event. Ollie Webster will captain the Ireland side, whilst Harry McAleer, Spencer Clark, Corbin Liebenberg and Luke Ward join the international setup for the first time. And finally, the Isle of Man men's national hockey team have suffered relegation from the top flight of the English County Championships. It follows the Ireland side's latest outing in the competition at Nottingham Hockey Centre on the 18th and 19th of May, facing quality opposition in the A division. Defeats to defending champions Kent, eventual runners-up Nottinghamshire, as well as Staffordshire, were followed by a loss to Yorkshire in the relegation playoffs. Despite exiting the top division, the Isle of Man's weekend ended on a positive note with a 5-3 win over the armed forces.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Quayside Tyres and Service Centre.
Inbound at Ronald's Way. Next, it's the 6:30 EasyJet from Belfast International, the 7:35 EasyJet from Gatwick's on time, 7:45 Loganair from Edinburgh, the 7:55 returning patient transfer Loganair from Liverpool's on time, as is the 10:09 Loganair inbound from London City. Outbound, 6 o'clock Loganair to Liverpool, 7 o'clock EasyJet to Belfast International, and the 5 past 8 return EasyJet to London Gatwick. On the roads, well, you heard the roads close at 6 o'clock, so do be aware of that. Outside of the roads closing, remember, in daylight, the mountain road is one way from Ramsey Hairpin to the Craig in the direction of the course until Tuesday the 11th. Cycling is also prohibited on the mountain course during that period. In Douglas, part of Switzerland Road's closed for construction work to November. Hillside Avenue through to Circular Road is closed for adjacent office window replacement. In Colby, the Ballachill Ferrick Road has got a phase closure for water main work, and phase closures too on the Starvey Road through until the 4th of July.
Quayside Tyres and Service Centre with 1 year's free engine warranty from Castrol. Get more with Quayside.
A campaigner has vowed to stand in front of the bulldozers if anything other than a suitable memorial is proposed for the site of the former Summerland. The land on which 50 people were killed during a leisure centre blaze in 1973 is currently unused, with the remains of the former building still on display. From the Justice for Summerland campaign group, Tina Brennan.
At the moment, it's in the hands of the MDC. So, yeah, I mean, it's ludicrous. It's ludicrous. That site has been for sale. Next year, it'll be 20 years. 20 years of it being derelict with nothing, no developers stepping forward. And why would they? There's too many issues. It needs to be properly recognised, and we will make sure that it is properly recognised, because I can tell you now that if a bulldozer goes onto that site to turn it into anything other than a substantial memorial proportionate in size to this tragedy,
loss of life,
yeah, then I will be standing in front of that bulldozer with as many people as I can get, as much press as I can get here and in the UK. And yeah, we will make sure that this goes ahead. That's one of our aims of the campaign, is the sighting of a proportionate memorial on that site, and also the overturn of the death by misadventure verdict. And that's what we will achieve. The mood has changed from being one of, well, yeah, there's people out there that say, draw a line under it, finish it, it's done, it's over. Let's forget about it. Let's get the money into Treasury for it. But that has swung around now. There's been a proper change, particularly with last year, with the commemoration, the anniversary, the stories of the victims which came out, and people realise this is a current issue. It is not going away. So, yeah, there's a change in mood, and there's anger also that our government is not stepping up, not just in this situation, but in every level of our society, which at the moment is crumbling. So there's a lot of anger out there, yeah, and it feeds into this as well.
This is the most listened to Isle of Man news source, and Manx Radio's update is the Isle of Man's most downloaded news podcast.
As well as commemorating the Douglas War Memorial centenary, the Isle of Man's commemorating the D-Day landings from World War II, and pipers will appear at various locations across the island. Pipe Major Alistair Lothian and piper Dr. John Struthers.
Well, we're actually honoured to be here today because we're part of the 80-day countdown for the commemoration of the D-Day landings back into France. And there's been Scotland, England, Northern Ireland, Jersey and Guernsey, and the Isle of Man has been privileged to do the last 10 days leading up to the 6th of June. So this is the second day, and we chose Douglas Head, and we're back here tomorrow for the third day as well. I've been playing the pipes for 20 years, over 20 years, as is Alistair as well, and it's almost like a build-up to do something as memorable as this, because I had a friend who actually took part in the Normandy landing, so it's quite an emotive thing to do, and it does feel like to have the confidence to stand and play at such a memorial thing. I think it takes 20 years almost to gain that amount of self-reliance to play the pipes. And the significance of the bagpipes is that on the Normandy landers on the 6th of June, it was Lord Lovett sent his piper Bill Mullen out to rouse the troops and play his bagpipes, which he did. And these pipes are still on display, I think, in the Glasgow National Piping Centre. So the pipes did feature the troops going back into Normandy, but I think he wasn't meant to send a piper, but he did.
This is the second in a number of different pop-up locations that it's going to be happening. Can you talk to me about the rest of the week?
As John said, we're John's here again tomorrow, and then on Friday we're at Port Sodderick at Heroes on the Water, that's correct. Then we're then across in Ramsey, Parliament Square, and then I think we come back across here to Unken Head, and then to the cenotaph on the promenade, and then after that we're at Jerby Church, and after Jerby Church I think we finish at St John's.
That's it for Update Tonight, compiled from the resources of Manx Radio's news department. Thanks to newsreader Siobhan Fletcher, producer Amy Griffiths. After the news at 6 o'clock, it's Spotlight with Howie Kane, the greatest hits. At 6:30 for Simon Clark, an update returns tomorrow, Thursday at 5:30. W-I-